Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Selling Greenville, your favorite real estate podcast here in Greenville, South Carolina. I'm your host, as always, Stan McCune, realtor right here in Greenville, South Carolina, and you can find all of my contact information in the show notes if you need to reach out to me for any of your real estate needs. And just a reminder, as always, please like, rate, review, subscribe, all of those good things for the show, okay? Just open up whatever podcast app you're using. I'm going to adjust my mic here a little bit. Just open up whatever podcast app you're using and just go ahead and hit the subscribe button. Download episodes, delete, and then re-download episodes. All of those things help. So anything like that that you can do just takes a second. Please go ahead and do those things. That's it. I just got back from a little spring break vacation. I actually won a vacation, first time in my life, out to Las Vegas. I've been to Las Vegas many times when I used to not be in real estate. My job had me going out to a convention there once a year, so I know Las Vegas quite well. Most of the Las Vegas environment is not super appealing to me, but we still had a very good time, we got to do some cool hikes. And by the way, so I love desert hiking. Valley of Fire State Park, very, very underrated park out there. Obviously, it's much smaller than all of the national parks that are in that area, that part of the country. But a very, very good, if you like desert environments, Valley of Fire State Park. Now, before I jump into today's like real episode, I'll just mention just kind of like what it's like when I go on vacation, right? Because some people ask me this, what is that like? Well, first off, any of my buyer clients know that they can reach me at any time, as long as I'm awake. And not like in a show or something like that. They can reach me anytime. And if they want to look at any homes, I've got a team, people that can show them homes here in Greenville. Okay. So it's really that simple. But I found usually it's better for my business if I travel outside of the Eastern time zone, and it doesn't matter which direction I travel. Although frequently we do end up traveling, more towards the Pacific coast and the Pacific time zone. And in those instances, oftentimes I'm the first one awake in my family, right? My family, we all like to sleep in, including myself, to be honest. I'm more of a night person than a morning person, but I'll get up before everyone and I'll just crank out 2 to 3 hours worth of work in the morning, every single day on my vacation, just make sure I'm staying on top of things. I'm cutting out all the fat, all of the things that are non-essential. I'm just cutting out every single one of those things, and just focusing on the important task at hand. And there were many of them this past week. I found myself making a lot of those morning phone calls, having to clean up a lot of messes, doing repair addendums. I even listed a home while I was in Las Vegas. How did I do that? Well, again, there's a ton of prep in advance that I have to do prior to going on a trip like this. So I knew that this client was going to be ready to list their home that week. I had done everything the week before and the week before that in order to prepare for that. And of course, I record these podcast episodes in advance as well. A few weeks ago, when I'm going on vacation. I don't usually do that. But again, going on vacation, I'm not going to be recording podcasts from a hotel room. I try to do all that in advance. So I did. Last week's episode with Chris White, I had recorded that with him the week before, and thankfully that all worked out with all of our schedules. So a little bit of an inside look, what it's like for Stan going on vacation. Every vacation is a working vacation for me, but that's okay. I've got a system. It works. I enjoy what I do, so it's not like a big drag on me if I'm having to work while I'm on vacation. I just know that's just part of the gig. Real estate, there are some huge advantages to being a realtor, and there are some disadvantages, just like any job. One of the disadvantages is when your entire business funnels through you personally, you have to take that business with you everywhere that you go, and I'm totally fine with that. All right, a little bit of an inside look there for you guys. And from here, we're going to jump right into the market stats for what we have as the month of February. If you'll give me a second, I'm trying to actually find where these market stats are located. All right, here we go. All right, Hopefully you guys can see that okay. For some reason, I use Zoom for all of these recordings, and for some reason, it showed up a little bit weird. But hopefully you guys can see what I'm looking at. I'm looking at new listings going through the month of February. So we've got some interesting things to cover here. New listings. We've been bouncing kind of back and forth the past few months. We've had some months where new listings have been down year on year, some months where they've been up year on year. Me as a realtor, and I think pretty much everyone, unless you're like a seller in this market, everyone wants there to be more new listings, right? That's beneficial to the market. That helps housing affordability. That gives buyers a lot more options at a time when buyers are really feeling the squeeze from a lot of different angles. So we've had some up and down months. February was a slightly up month. We had a 2.8% increase in new listings year on year, and also a decent month-on-month increase, which I don't focus on a whole lot. But we had 1,953 new listings in February. Like I said, that's a really strong February. That will register as one of, if not the strongest, I actually think that was the strongest February of all time, actually, if I look back. So the most listings, from what I can see here, and I didn't come prepared to actually say that tidbit, but it looks like to me it's the most listings we've ever had for February, so that's great. Great to see. 1,953 up from 1,899 February last year. What about pending sales? Okay, this is one of the metrics that's always revised. It's always wrong for the most recent month. Don't know why. So we'll look back at January's pendings, right? Of course, we don't have March numbers yet. These stats always come out, you know, mid to late of the month following what they're for. So these only go through February, unfortunately. But for pending sales, because it's always wrong for the most recent month, we're going to go back a month. We're going to look at January. January's pendings were down minus 9.2% year on year. Okay. And this has been an interesting thing to track. And I told you guys this. I predicted that this would happen. I told you guys last time we went through market stats that I thought the January sales number, once it was revised, even once it was revised up, it was still going to be a year-on-year decrease. And in fact, it was. It was down from 1,332 January 24 to 1,210 January 25. February is going to be more of the same, right? If once we get the revision next month for February's numbers for pending sales, it's still going to be, I believe, a decrease year on year, because February of 2024, we had 1,373 new listings. And currently the unrevised number for February 25 is 863. Usually it gets revised by about 400-ish units. That would put us a hair below 1,300. So I think we're going to see two straight months of year on year declines in pending sales. But as I have told you guys before, that is not affecting closings as much as you might think, okay? So we have had now five straight months of closed sales that are up year on year. February was no difference. And I'm grasping for straws there at the right phrase to say. February was no different than the other 4 months that preceded it. A 0.9%, so almost a 1% increase year on year. In closed sales, 1,171 closed sales versus 1,160 the year before. That's interesting, but that's also a big slowdown, right? Because October was 5.5% up, November was 11.5%, December was 17.6% up, January was 11.9% up, and now we come all the way down to February being only 0.9% up, so basically 1% up year on year. Would it surprise me if March is down year on year in closed sales? No, it would not surprise me, because again, what we're looking at is weak pending sales numbers, and the weak pending sales numbers eventually can show up as weak closed sales numbers. Now, when that doesn't happen is when buyers aren't exiting their contracts, right? When buyers are sticking through and taking it all the way through the end and not backing out, not having low appraisals, all of these sorts of things. But unfortunately, buyers are doing that a lot right now. And not just in Greenville, all over the country. I mean, I'm talking to an agent in California right now. because I'm helping this agent who is helping a client sell a home there and then move to Greenville. So I'm helping, I'm having to communicate with the listing agent in California quite a bit. And guess what? My client who's buying in this area has now had 3 contracts on her home in California, which is very reasonably priced, by the way, by California standards. And so this is a thing that's happening. Contracts are falling through. And so that pendings data being kind of weak for the past couple of months, I think that's going to be reflected in the closed sales data. Would not be surprised if March is down year on year. And March sales last year was 1,384, pretty strong. We're going to have to really see a good push for the end of this month in closed sales in order to actually surpass what we had last year. And that would kind of surprise me at this point. Days on market until sale. Okay, I've been getting this question a lot. How long is it taking right now for a home to sell? Okay, February, the number was 62. And that's the highest number that we've had in several years, right? That's the highest number that we've had since basically the pandemic month, right? March of 2020 was the last time that it was anywhere near this level, really. The last time that it was, outside of last month, January, it was 61 days. But otherwise, since March of 2020, it has been below 60 days, okay? So here we are now, 2 straight months above 60 days. What does that mean? That's how long it's taken for a home to go under contract from the time it's listed until the time it goes under contract. You list your home, on average, it's going to take you 62 days to get under contract. So just prepare yourself. It's no longer list your home, get multiple offers, boom, we're moving along. Buyer has to close in 21 days from start to finish. It's an entire 25-day ordeal. No. It's much longer now. Now it takes 60 days to get under contract. And then it takes another 30 to 45 days to close. And that's assuming that the buyer doesn't back out. And buyers are backing out a lot right now. Okay? So be prepared. It just takes longer. You can't just sell a home overnight like you could in some other markets. 62 days on market until sale. That's an 8.8% increase over February of 2024, which was 57 days. Now, seasonality plays a big role in this number. You can see pretty much every year, not including some of these weird COVID years, but pretty much every year you see right around this time of year that the days on market until sale spikes, okay? Sometimes it's January, sometimes it's February, sometimes it's March, but it's typically spiking in one of those 3 months. And so we might see March go up a little bit more and then in April start to come back down if normal seasonality trends happen. And basically what happens is all of demand, the market gets flooded by demand in February and March before it gets, the market gets flooded with supply before all the demand gets flooded in, okay? So a lot of home buyers are, you know, sitting on the sidelines until April, May. But a lot of home sellers are getting ready to sell in February, March, right? So the supply hits before the demand. And then once that demand really, really starts to come online in March or April, that's when we start to see the days on market retract because the demand basically forces buyers to have to purchase homes more quickly, right? They've got more competition. Hopefully that made sense. Let me know if it didn't make any sense. Median sales price. Okay. This will probably be the headline of this podcast. First month in 6 months that we finally saw a year-on-year increase in the median sales price. It went up from $299,958. So basically $300,000 a year ago up to $315,000. That's a sizable increase. That's a 5% year-on-year increase. Now, I didn't know for a fact it was going to be that large of an increase, but I've been telling you guys for multiple months now, if you've been listening to this show for multiple months, I just validated my knowledge of the data because I've been telling you if there is going to be a month this year where we see a year-on-year increase in the median sales price, it's going to be February because that February of last year number was weak. Now, the February this year number, that's a strong February number. To get that 315, That's the highest February number that we've ever had. And I mean, it's really flirting with the highest median sales price we've ever had, period, which was $324,990. So $315,000, that's really strong. It'll be interesting to see if that trend continues, okay? That's a big thing that I am interested in this year, because we need to see, okay, how is the market going to respond? This is one of the metrics. You know, when people ask me, what is the average home price in Greenville? I don't tell them the average. I tell them the median. It's more accurate. 315 is the average in the greater Greenville area. Not really. It's the median, but that's what I'm going to tell people. Now, we do have the average as well. If you're really interested, that bumped up, had a huge increase year on year from 357,000 and change to 400,807. So that's a 12.3% increase year over year for February 25 versus February 24. That's the largest increase we've seen on the average in a long, long, long time. And again, a lot of what's happening here is just the higher priced homes are more in vogue right now than they have been in Greenville in a while. And so that skews the averages versus the median. So that's why the average is so disconnected from the median. But we hop back above 400,000 for the average price. We've done that now a few different times. And it'll be, again, interesting to see, do we stay above 400 from here on out? Have we seen the final months of the true average being below 400,000? I don't know. Not willing to make that prediction. Because I just really don't know. There's so much that's really hard to predict when you're looking at the average sales price. So we'll just keep tracking that. But that's a huge increase, 12.3% year on year. Percent of list price received, the percentage found when dividing a property's sales price by its most recent list price. So not including, you know, price reductions. And then taking the average for all properties sold in a given month, not accounting for seller concessions. So if the seller helps to pay for buyer closing costs, that's also not factored into this. So it's not, when we're looking at the percent of list price received, you might think this is a useless piece of information, right? Because it's not factoring in price reductions and it's also not factoring in seller concessions. But the value in it is looking back historically, right? And so the percent of list price received currently is 98.2%. That went down from the 98.3% of a year ago. So it just went down 0.1%, basically the same as what it was a year ago. How does that compare historically? I mean, it's really, really closely in line with where things were pre-pandemic. Pre-pandemic, things were hovering right around 98%, and it's probably slightly above perhaps some of the early winter months pre-pandemic. So long story short, in terms of like what sellers are getting when they list a home, and in terms of like what buyers are offering and what they're actually going under contract for, if you don't factor in all the price reductions and whatnot, it's pretty comparable to what they were getting in 2018, 2019. And that checks out for me personally. You know, I've been an agent since, I think 2016. It's been a long time. Feels like a lot longer. So I've seen a lot of different trends. You know, 9 years of real estate is an eternity. Okay, and I'm been doing it for over 9 years now. That's an eternity in real estate time. And so what it feels like right now is kind of like somewhere between like 2016 and 2019. That's kind of where the market feels right now. For what we're having here in Greenville, in case you're interested in that. Housing Affordability Index. We like this number to be at 100. That means that the median household can afford the median-priced home given prevailing interest rates, given prevailing income, median income in our area, et cetera, et cetera. And unfortunately, February was not at 100. It was at 97. It was at 100 last year. Okay, February 24 was 100, so it went down 3% to 97. Again, mortgage rates crushing affordability right now. And this is something, maybe at some point I'll do a little bit of a deep dive into this housing affordability index, because I think it could be interesting to see, okay, what how many trends can we like reverse engineer just from this number? I think that there might be some interesting things there. But we want it to be above 100. It's not there. If mortgage rates came down just a little bit, we'd get there. House prices would have to come down a decent bit if mortgage rates stayed where they are. So we'll keep tracking this and we'll see what happens. Inventory of homes for sale. Okay, this is another one of the numbers that always gets revised. So I've got another screen here where I've got last month's for me to reference here. So inventory of homes for sale. We're not going to look at February at the moment. We're going to look back at January. January was up 20.8%, which is in line with what it's been doing the past 4 months or the past several months. It's been around 20% each month, about 20% increase year on year. So January was at 4,234 units of inventory, and it was at 3,505 the year before, January before. Now, February of 2025, it's going to get revised. These numbers always get revised down, again, by about 400. And so it's currently saying 4,780. It's probably going to get revised down to the 4,300, 4,350 range, something like that. Either way, that's still going to be a huge increase versus the 3,582 of February last year. So again, it's going to be close to a 20% increase in supply year on year, okay? Buyers have way more options. And this is also what's causing sellers to have more angst when they're selling, is because they have their homes that they're listing have more competition in contrast to other years. Month supply of inventory. Very simple way of thinking about this is if no more homes were listed for ever again in the Greenville MLS, how long would it take, based on current absorption rates, for all the homes to get sold? And again, this divides two numbers that I just said are flawed: pending sales and months of inventory. So January is going to be accurate. It was 3.1 months of supply. Okay, that was up 14.8% from the year before, which was 2.7. February is not going to be right, but I can tell you right now, it's going to be probably between 3.1 and 3.3, which is also going to be a large increase from the 2.8 months of inventory from the year before. Inventory, months of inventory is interesting, right? Because this is one of the core metrics that people look at to determine if we're in a buyer's or a seller's market. I've talked extensively on this show about how I don't think it's as accurate of a metric for that as we used to think. And we need to kind of reshape our thinking. We're still in this weird post-pandemic real estate market, which is now, you know, we've kind of fixed the core pandemic things that we had, but now these mortgage rates are so high. So it's still a very weird environment. We've got people with what's called the lock-in effect. They've got these cushy 2.5% mortgage rates. They're never going to sell. And so there's a lot of stuff happening that's impacting these supply numbers that is not baked into the historical data. So we have to keep that in mind when we're looking at this. But regardless, this is also a number that tends to be seasonal, and it tends to spike in the middle of the year. And we've got a lot of historical data for that. So there's a possibility, an outside possibility, we could hit 4 months of inventory, four months supply of inventory before the end of the summer. I'm not going to predict that either. I personally would be a little bit surprised if we got up to four, but it's definitely in the cards. And we haven't had 4 months of inventory since 2020. Okay. So that would be a very interesting trend to see. And actually, I think you have to go back further. I think you have to go back to 2019. I didn't draw a straight line across here, but I think you have to go back to 2019. Again, if that sounds like the market is getting softer, it's because the market is getting softer. And I'll just show you one quick thing. I don't always go over this with you guys, but to my point about the average sales price being influenced by the more expensive homes, the price range with the strongest sales for the month of February was the $750,000 to $1 million price range. It had a 20.1% increase year on year. Bedroom counts with the stronger sales were 4 bedrooms or more, larger homes. Interesting. 4.8% increase year on year. And lastly, the property type with the strongest sales was condos, 3.6%. That's a little bit of an unexpected twist. That doesn't really go with some of these other things. But remember, Greenville is building some very nice condos right now. If you're looking at parts of downtown Greenville, some of the other downtowns, you can buy some very, very nice condos, sometimes extremely expensive condos. And so that could be influencing, all of these numbers as well. So I hope that's helpful for you guys. Let me know if you have any questions, any specific questions. A lot of you guys are great about reaching out. I always respond. If I don't respond, it's because I didn't get the message. Sometimes emails go to spam. Sometimes a lot of other things happen. You might text my Google Voice number because I have that out there sometimes. I've been having issues with that. Don't text that. Text my 973 number. Yeah, that's my high school New Jersey number, right? I went to high school in New Jersey. I've been in Greenville my entire adult life. But that's the better number right now. I'm never going to get rid of that number. My Google Voice is being squirrely. Forget that. Okay. So if you don't hear from me, and you reached out, something went wrong, try again another way. You will reach me some way, somehow. Contact info in the show notes. Like, rate, review, subscribe. We will talk again.